congregation please rise in our entrance hymn, processional hymn is hymn number 290. 290, go tell it on the mountain. December 31st, we make our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise. Found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Today is the 31st of December, the last day of 2023, the New Year's Eve. It's also the seventh day of Christmas. I was telling the acolytes in the sacristy, Christmas is not over until next Friday. Why Madison Avenue hasn't jumped on this, I don't know. Now, the 12 days of Christmas is not one day, it's 12 days long. And then on Saturday is the Epiphany of our Lord, which we will celebrate next Sunday, along with the baptism of our Lord. But today we continue to celebrate Christmas with the hymns that we are singing, and we are in the seventh day out of the 12. Seven swans of swimming, one of my favorite days of Christmas. Okay, turkeys would be better because you can eat those. I don't need swans. I invite you to turn to the hymn of praise, our Christmas song that we've had all Advent and Christmas. Rejoice, rejoice, believers, hymn 244. We sing verses 1 and 4 only at this time. Hymn 244, verses 1 and 4.
The first reading today is from Isaiah 61, verses 10, 62, verses 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garland, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as the garden causes what is to be sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and the royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 148. We'll read it responsively. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you nations.
Sing praise, all ye hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon.
Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, you highest heavens.
And you waters from the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Who commanded and that they were created.
Who established them forever and ever.
Who fixed their bounds which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth.
You sea monsters at all deep depths.
Fire and hail, snow and frost.
Stormy wind fulfilling God's command.
Mountains and all hills.
Fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle.
Creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples.
Princes and all the rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike.
Old and younger together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Whose name alone is exalted.
Whose splendor is above earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for his people.
Praise for all faithful servants.
For the praise of Israel who are close to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent God's Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive an adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of God's Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel for today, the first Sunday of Christmas, the seventh day of Christmas, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, we stand in honor of the reading of the Gospel in our midst, but due to its length, I invite you to be seated so you're not distracted by the length of the Gospel. The Gospel is this great story in Luke chapter 2. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what was stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praise God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now there was a prophet also named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town, Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, which was just read. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Waiting. Waiting for a baby. Waiting for salvation. Simeon and Anna have been waiting their whole lives for the Messiah in this moment. The rite of purification is found in Leviticus, the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, third book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Yeah, third book, to be honest. Chapter 12, go home and read the gory details. Leviticus chapter 12, oh my. Women and children are present, so I'll be very polite about this. It's the rite of purification, okay? After 8 days, a baby is circumcised by a moel, not a priest. Someone that knows how to do that, you know, we call them a doctor, okay? But the rite of purification happened 33 days after the birth of a child. Okay, and if it was a baby girl, you had to wait 66 days, and I don't get it. But it's in the Bible, chapter 12. But Jesus wasn't a girl, he was a boy. He was the firstborn boy to be dedicated as holy to God. Okay, so after 33 days, they get up from Bethlehem and they go to Jerusalem. Okay, one theologian I read said, they've been traveling a lot. They went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and then they go from Jerusalem back to Nazareth again. And this is all within a month of giving birth. Oh, my word. I believe, you know, women should have 2 or 3 weeks in bed rest after labor. That's my philosophy. And the husband should not be in the birthing room. I could never do it. I saw birth on screens during psychology courses in college. That was enough for me. In the waiting room, the husband should be with a cigar and 3 olive martini, just waiting, right? Okay. While a woman does all this labor. But some theologians said there's been a lot of traveling going on between Nazareth and Bethlehem and Bethlehem and Jerusalem and now Jerusalem to Nazareth again. Okay? 33 days, they come to the temple because both mother and child have been involved in a flow of blood. This past week, I cut myself on my hand taking down some outside decorations that were dying. It looked more like Lent than Christmas. We're only in the 7th day of Christmas out of 12. So I took them down and I cut my hand. Any flow of blood, read between the lines, or read Leviticus chapter 12, you then had to be purified, baptized, basically, we call it, right? Baptism, washed. So you might go back to the temple, you might go back to the synagogue, you might go back to Ken's Market or Ridley's or wherever you shop. You might go back to community, the church. Mary and Jesus were unclean because of the birth. the fluid and the blood. And they had to wait 33 days before they could go to Jerusalem and then be baptized, washed, and cleansed, and reinstated into fellowship. The other thing that's interesting, that's a whole other sermon, is that Mary and Joseph offered two pigeons. Turtle doves is the old English King James, really fancy word for it, turtle doves. I don't know if they had turtle doves back in Jerusalem, probably. But two pigeons, okay? In New York City, they call them rats with feathers, pigeons. But that's how poor Mary and Joseph were. They were to offer a lamb 1 year old or younger without spot or blemish. Now think about that a second. They were supposed to offer, if they had money, a lamb 1 year old without spot or blemish. But they could not afford one. So they brought two pigeons, rats with feathers, to be sacrificed. One for the child, one for Mary. The interesting thing is, are you getting it? Where is the lamb at this sacrifice? The lamb is being held by Mary in her arms. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world that we say every Sunday at the table is in her arms. It's not brought to be sacrificed. Now, 33 years later, the Lamb will be sacrificed. Okay, you know the rest of the story, Paul Harvey, page 3. But the irony of this whole thing, that's why Luke is telling this story. And it's only in Luke's gospel, the story of Simeon and Anna. Important, because the Lamb has been brought to the temple. And the Lamb is the one who will be sacrificed for you and me, not for himself and his mother. So they were so poor, they had two pigeons, okay? Then we get back to Simeon and Anna. We are told Anna's 84 years old. In public, you'd never ask a woman's age. They're always 29, right? You never ask a woman's age. But we were told that that's how old she is, and that after 7 years of marriage, she then was at the temple the rest of her life, night and day. Okay, that's the way the Hebrew people do 24 hours, night and day. And Simeon's right up there with her in his 80s, and they've been waiting their whole lives. They've been waiting for the baby, not 9 months, but for their whole lives. I love that. I absolutely love that. Patiently waiting for the baby. Then the Holy Spirit directs Simeon to go to the temple. I don't know what he was doing that morning, but Holy Spirit said, hey, get up, go. It's time. And out of all the people at the temple, he recognized Mary and Joseph. Some theologians say because they were so poor. I think that's it. I think it's the Holy Spirit directed him to Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. And he holds the baby in his arms. Yesterday, and aside, you can tell him I preached about him, okay? All four of you. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary celebration for Patty and Lyndon Porath. They must have had 60 people in their living room and dining room and that. It was packed. It was a celebration. And nobody cared about Patty and Lyndon. Nobody cared about the other 59 people there because there was a baby. There was a month-old baby. Yeah, Cody, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so there's Princess Charlotte there. All the young girls in the front row, as well as all the old women, the Annas, I won't call Patty an old woman. Lyndon said to me last week, he goes, when did this happen? You know, 50th anniversary? I said, wait till 75. All the young women and all the old women were holding this month-old baby. And it was a beautiful baby, beautiful baby. And so young and so little. And we've just been talking about babies all Christmas, right? They couldn't get enough of it. I saw Charlotte holding it at least 3 times. And then I saw some elderly women. I went to their husband and said, remember the story about Abraham and Sarah? Be careful. Your wife is looking pretty lovingly at this baby. And they went, oh, no, no. I said, that's what Abraham and Sarah said, too. Oh, no, no, no. The baby was the center of attention. Month old, beautiful baby. Simeon and Anna. It's the center of attention. And so Simeon holds the baby, and then comes this beautiful canticle or song. The Gospel of Luke, we're in the year of Mark, but the Gospel of Luke is all about worship. You've got the Magnificat, which we use twice during Advent. You've got the Benedictus, which means the blessing, the sending. And then you've got the Nunc Dimittis, in Latin. Okay, remember that. I'm old enough that we used the Latin, even in the Lutheran Church back in the 1960s. The Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Okay? Nunc Dimittis in Latin, I had to look it up, actually means literally, now you let depart. Now dismiss. Simeon was told he would not die until he saw the Messiah arrive. I think he was thinking a Messiah in a chariot with a big sword and ready to take over the Roman and the Greeks and get rid of that occupation. It was a baby he held in his arms. The church still uses this, along with the Magnificat, the Benedictus, the Nunc Dimittis, the now dismiss, is used in our worship services, okay? Especially in monasteries. I wrote it down, where is it? Compline, Vespers, and Evensong. 3 times during the day, they sing this song. And what is the canticle of the song? I read it to you again. It's in your bulletin. Master, which he's saying to God, okay? Master, now send your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He was looking in the face of the baby. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. A light. Where have you heard that before? Epiphany's next Saturday. A light for revelation to the Gentiles of all people. The pagans. Really? And for glory to your people, Israel. It's okay, Mom. It's okay. She knows the voice. I got her all wet a few weeks ago. Christmas Eve, Joanne. Okay, the baby up there on the balcony. And it fits. It just fits with the whole baby thing. She looked at me. I was in the back of the church ready to begin worship. And she looked over her mother's shoulder, and I finally came up and said hi to her. She kind of calmed her down. And her mother said, I was wondering who she was looking at. I said, yeah, me. You know, the guy who drowned her at baptism here a few weeks ago. Simeon holds the baby in his arms, looks into Jesus' face, and says, you prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Whoa, them's fighting words. Gaza and Israel. Them's fighting words. And for the glory of your people, Israel. I know that you know all these years. You're all Simeons and Annas, by the way. Thank you for being here on Christmas Eve, Easter Eve. We'll get there somewhere. On New Year's Eve, thank you for being here in the temple, okay? Because you all know I'm not a father. I'm not a grandfather. I'm not even an uncle, thanks to my sister, my only sister. But I know folks who have waited patiently for a baby. I've had friends. Now, this is maybe 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, because I'm that old. But they were waiting for a baby, and some of them couldn't have a baby. So then they waited even longer, more than 9 months. They waited for a year, year and a half, 2 years to adopt. I have friends who adopted 20 years ago, this month, December. Their son is now 20 years old and in college. And they were so thrilled. They're both pastors, both husband and wife. But they were so thrilled to have a baby after waiting a year and a half for the adoption to go through. It's all about waiting for salvation, waiting for Jesus in our lives. Simeon and Anna waited 80-some years for the baby. Think Abraham and Sarah were the people I gave a hard time at the party yesterday. Careful, you know? Your wife's looking awful lovingly at this baby. I actually had one of them say, I'm going to have another one. I'm like, whoa, have you talked to your husband about that yet? And then comes this phrase, which is just amazing to me. Verse 33 in chapter 2 of Luke. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them. The child's father and mother were amazed. It's been 33 days since his birth. 33 days plus 9 months since Angel Gabriel came to Mary and Joseph and said, surprise, God has a plan for you. But it's been 33 days since the birth of Jesus. And the shepherds came and explained everything that they saw with the heavenly hosts and the angels and them. And all people were perplexed and amazed then too. It's only been 33 days. The Magi haven't come yet, okay? the three wise men, because that's up to 2 years later. That's why Herod killed all the babies 2 years old and under, which is when we were in church on December 26th. That would have been the gospel reading for that day, the Holy Innocents, where at least 22 babies were killed in the town of Bethlehem, who were the firstborn Hebrew sons. In medieval times, they hyped up, because it's a fishing story, 200,000 babies were killed in Bethlehem during the Holy Innocents. Sounds like a horror movie. 22 is enough. Think of the shooting that happened on the East Coast here some years ago. One is too many for a baby to die. They forgot. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them. How soon do you forget? That's my question for you today. How soon do you forget the Christ child? It's been a week, okay? It's been 1 week. I've been through two sets of batteries already for my Christmas lights that I have inside my house. Two sets of batteries. I think, is this worth it? I'm sure the toys have been broken. The toys have already been put in the corner of the room. Hopefully all of the food is eaten. I still have Christmas breads and cookies that I'm still munching on. And trail mix, you tell them, I'm stretching that out as long as possible, the red can of trail mix. But how soon we forget the baby Jesus? It's the seventh day of Christmas out of the 12 days. We should have been in church all 12 days long till next Friday, celebrating the baby, holding the baby in our arms. It's been a long week. Two deaths and a funeral last Friday. A funeral coming up this Wednesday. It's been a long week. There's war still in Gaza and Israel. Still in Russia and Ukraine and the Sudan. There's hunger and famine. There's sickness and pestilence. And yet the gift of the child should still be in our hearts and in our minds. Because it's only been a week. It was 33 days for Mary and Joseph, and they've been doing a whole lot of stuff. I think they finally got some housing in Bethlehem before they went to Jerusalem. He made reservations in Jerusalem to make sure they didn't get stuck in a stable again. How soon do we forget? I'll include myself in that. How soon do you and I forget the Christ child? Simeon and Anna waited 80-some years to hold the Messiah in their arms, to see the Messiah in their lives. And the miracle is that they got to hold him. He didn't come in a chariot with a sword and all that kind of thing. He came as a baby, innocent and humble, vulnerable to the world. He came as a baby. And Simeon, when he blessed him, said to his mother, Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel," and I'd say the whole world, "to be a sign that will be oppressed, denied, and rejected, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." 33 years later, she's at the base of the cross. 33 years later, she's at the base of the cross where they hung out her firstborn baby boy to die. But he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. He had no sin. He is the Lamb that is sacrificed for us on that cross, that you and I might have life and joy, even in the midst of death and dying. They were given the gift to hold the baby in their arms, Anna and Simeon. You are given the gift to hold the baby in your hands today. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, like Simeon was, to direct us daily in our lives. Okay, so not only weekly, it would be daily if it was my thing. You know, let's meet all 12 days of Christmas and have communion each day. We meet weekly and hold Jesus in our hands. Okay? Simeon was waiting his whole life, and the Holy Spirit directs him. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Joanna has the Holy Spirit in her lives too, after her baptism now. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will direct her down the right ways in life, that she might be full of joy and life and happiness also. They waited their whole lives for the Messiah, and they finally got to hold him. You get to hold the Messiah, the child, in your hands today at Holy Communion. Thank Anne for being here last week, this week, and she's going to be here next week, too, for when the bishop comes. The bishop's coming next week, so we're putting on the dog as far as music and also coffee hour. The cookies out of the freezer. We're going to keep them for the bishop if you don't eat them today, but eat cookies today. We don't have more. Marita Paulson, who's still suffering from COVID and testing positive and hopefully getting better, but she sounded horrible when I talked to her this week. She introduces him, hymn 718, turn to it, hymn 718 in the hymnal. She introduces him to it, and it's not a Christmas hymn, but it talks about the manger, okay? It's actually a Japanese hymn from our missionaries in Japan. So we will sing it. We've sung it every year now for I don't know how many years in a row. But in a lonely manger born, okay? And listen to the words. It has to do with what Simeon said in his prophecy as he held the baby Jesus. Hymn 718. Choir with me and that, and I'd always say, this is such a good hymn. This is my favorite hymn. He goes, how many favorite hymns do you have? I said, 642. He goes, oh. But no, the words to In a Lowly Manger Born. It was wonderful. Thank you for that. And it tells the whole story from the manger to the cross and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear would say. So I invite you to stand, to rise, and return to the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 as our confession of faith and for the prayer of the church. The Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and in hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Today, in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers in the church our bishops, Reverend Elizabeth Eaton and Reverend Megan Manlove. This whole month of December, today's the last day, we pray for SECA, the Southeastern Idaho Community Action Agency. Nationally and around the world, even during this time of peace on earth, goodwill to all of God's people, we pray for the wars in Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, Gaza, Israel. We pray for all people who have lost property and lives due to these wars and due to natural disasters in our country and around the world. And certainly we pray for all law enforcement officers, firefighters, EMTs, first responders of these crises. This past week, we had two deaths on Christmas Eve, and they were Joanne Bauer and Iris Sims. Joanne Bauer was buried, and we had a funeral here on Friday for her in the morning. Iris Sims' family is coming together from the four corners of the earth, and they are going to have a funeral on Wednesday of this coming week. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creatures, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. You call us to rejoice with our whole being at the salvation you bring. With hope and expectation, we celebrate God's coming into the world, not only through a baby in a manger, but through the Holy Spirit daily in our lives. Send us forth, your faithful people, like Simeon and Anna, with words of promise, forgiveness, grace, and peace. Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Your praise is sung throughout creation in all times and all seasons. As the new year turns, ground us in your changeless and sustaining love. Keep us attentive to the rhythms of creation and inspire us to live in harmony with all the earth. Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Let the nations tremble at your holy presence, that justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, love, and hope to one another. Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Sustain all people like Simeon and Anna, who have been waiting for salvation and wholeness their whole lives. Comfort your people and bring them healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you. Be Emmanuel, God with us, to those who look to you for hope and healing. Be with those who are depressed, grieving, lonely, or isolated. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate heart to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Christ is born. Glory in the highest heaven. Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all the ministry you are faithfully a part of. We give you thanks for all the gifts and resources you have provided for us to minister to one another. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day we lift up Joanne, Iris, and those we name in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy, the new life, and hope. Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Come up and stand by me. He's working.
Come stand by me.
No? She let me hold her yesterday. She came running to me at the door. Yeah, come stand by me. He's going to work, yeah. She came running to me at the door. And she welcomed me. It was like, I felt like a million bucks. That was Christmas for me. Okay, let's stand over here. We'll get out of the way.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the first Sunday of Christmas, New Year's Eve. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Tracy Woodworth, Tyson Ruff, Chad Norlin, Tucker Scott, Carl Hoffmeister, Jason Kress. Happy anniversary this week to Jason and Jennifer Kress, Lyndon and Patty Porth, Jordan and Casey Gehring. Reverend Megan Manlove, Bishop of the Northwestern Intermountain Synod, will be visiting St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, next Sunday, January 7th, 2024. She will be our guest preacher that day, and we will have a special coffee hour for her following worship. Come on out and visit with Bishop Manlove, the new bishop of our synod. See you there. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to those ones found there? I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn in preparation for Holy Communion.
Church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. saying, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks again for all the drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant for my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing prepared for you just by singing the hymn that was talked about in the sermon, Lamb of God, found on page 146. Thank you. comprised of the blessing, the prayer, and the post-communion canticle. Not in that order. The blessing, post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and then the prayer. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Christmas yet until this morning. Quincy gave me my Christmas yesterday afternoon, and this morning. We should start a new tradition. All kids come forward and stand around the altar during communion, during the Great Thanksgiving. She was paying attention to every word, weren't you? That's right. Yeah, she did that. I love it. I just love it. I mean, you know, children holding babies in the arms. My father never had any grandchildren. You know that. I can tell you that. When he retired and came to Jackson Hole, we had a lot of young families. We had maybe two couples that were over retirement age. Everyone else was in their 30s and 40s with babies. They all had babies. Be fruitful and multiply. My father could not hold enough babies during worship. They passed around, and he just, it's like, huh? I don't think he ever held my sister ever. And bless him, I love you, Dad. But boy, babies, you know? So thank you, Quincy, for the Christmas present. I appreciate it. The final hymn for today, this seventh day of Christmas, seventh swans of Christmas. On the back table, I was going to put in all your bulletins, but I didn't want to waste paper. There's the season of Christmas, if you want to know. Okay, women and children are present. I've said to my colleagues who are pastors and who are bishops, I believe that the 7 days of Christmas was the celebration. The Hebrews celebrated weddings and bar mitzvahs for a whole week, either 7 or 8 days. Well, in my version, read the insert, it's all birds. You eat them. Yay. Okay? All birds, from the partridge in the pear tree all the way to the seven swans of swimming. And then you get into day 8 through 12, sex and rock and roll. Quote me. Yeah. And if I haven't gotten your attention now, Cody, college student, pick one of those papers up. I'm going to hand it to you. Yeah. And then share it with your family. It's amazing. You know, if you don't know about the 20 days of Christmas, it's eye-opening, folks. And I know I'm an old bachelor, but it's eye-opening. Our final hymn for this seventh day of Christmas, Friday is the end of Christmas, by the way, this next Friday. Good Christian friends, rejoice, hymn 288.
Jesus Christ.